This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Since the electronic virtual currency Bitcoin began circulating in 2009, it's garnered strong support, as well as serious concern worldwide. Proponents of the cryptocurrency point to its transparency and ease of use, while critics claim it's no more than a commodities bubble. We explore the world of Bitcoin with Definity Partners, solution architect and technology consultant Dave Hatter, and Garrett Kern, CEO of Surf Capital Management, an integration partner for Bitcoin payment processor BitPay. And you can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Garrett, I guess the first basic question to ask is, what exactly is Bitcoin and how does it work?
So Bitcoin is an electronic payment system first developed in 2009 by an anonymous author named Satoshi Nakamoto. Basically, it uses cryptographic technology to produce private keys that can be sent across the internet. So it serves as an online digital currency.
So I can use this to pay for pretty much anything. Is that the case?
Pretty much anything, anything from airline tickets to items on Overstock.com to books, anything out there pretty much can be bought with Bitcoin now.
And it's legal. I take it that it's legal to create your own currency, even a virtual currency.
It's not illegal. You know, that's still it's a gray area right now, but there's nothing that really says that it's illegal to use Bitcoin.
And how do you obtain Bitcoins?
Various ways. Probably the most popular way is to set up an account on a Bitcoin exchange like Coinbase.com. You'll put in your banking information and you can buy Bitcoins directly from your checking account. Another way is to meet somebody via localbitcoins.com and meet up somewhere and exchange Bitcoins physically in person.
So what are the advantages of using Bitcoins?
It's a lot cheaper than traditional methods of payment. It's also a lot more secure. So on the security standpoint, if you're making a purchase online, say you're buying something off Amazon.com or better yet, Overstock.com, traditionally you'd have to put in your credit card information, which would include your date of birth, your name, your address, a lot of personal information. Which has the potential to be stolen or hacked. With Bitcoin, it's a little more anonymous. You don't have to provide that much upfront information. So it's almost a little more like using cash on the internet, more anonymous.
Yeah, I guess I would jump in and say I agree with most of what Garrett said. And I think part of it is, you know, you do have some anonymity, but at the same time, it's more like using cash. One of the things that you do have to think about from a security and risk standpoint is, so if you go to an exchange and you sign up and plug your bank account information in, everyone out there I'm sure has heard about the Target hack. You know, one of the things is how reliable and reputable is the organization that you're giving your information to transact this Bitcoin transaction between your bank account and them. But once you have the coins, I totally agree. It literally is more like dealing in electronic cash, if you will. So you take that credit card aspect out. So I'm somewhere in between pro and con on this. I think it's very interesting and it has a lot of potential, but there are risks that go along with it that people need to realize.
So, Garrett, who are you giving your banking info to and how is it kept secure?
So Coinbase.com is the biggest exchange in the space right now. They are funded by the venture capital firm Andreessen Horowitz. They keep it secure in their own servers. It's not too much of a concern because these companies are pretty well-funded and have pretty secure IT systems. I would be a little more wary of smaller exchanges without the funding because you run the risk of a hacker coming in. Like recently, we've seen Mt. Gox, one of the largest Bitcoin exchanges, just filed for bankruptcy. They say they lost over 400,000 coins. And apparently, as part of that hack, a lot of customers' information was stolen as well. So passports, social security cards, that type of thing. So there's definitely risk associated with giving your identity up, but with the few large companies out there, I feel like those are pretty trustworthy.
And what I pretty much agree with that. What I would say is, like anything in the world of IT and particularly finance-oriented IT, you need to make sure you're dealing with some kind of reputable company. And this ultimately boils down to education. You know, before you go out and do this, to Garrett's point, there's lots of smaller organizations out there doing this. There's some big players. You know, you're going to want to lean towards the big players. They're going to have a vested interest in keeping your information safe because once they get hacked, they're out of business. And, you know, they've not only gone out of business, but they've left a black eye on the whole concept of this. So I think it's a matter of you need to do some homework on this and understand the risks. You need to understand the players in the game. And if you want to get into it, make sure you're dealing with a reputable player and you'll probably be fine. But again, there are risks and you need to understand those.
And Garrett, you mentioned Amazon earlier. So Amazon accepts Bitcoins?
Currently, they do not right now. Okay. There's been talks of Amazon accepting it. The largest merchant, online retailer merchant right now that accepts it is Overstock.com. They implemented Bitcoin about 3 months ago and just came out and said last month they did over $1 million worth of Bitcoin sales. So it's really taken off for them.
And there's all kinds of other weird – Tesla will take it. You know, all the way down to – I saw a story yesterday while I was doing some research in this. There's like a guy that owns a gun shop out in California somewhere who will now take Bitcoins at his gun shop. So, I mean, this stuff is becoming extremely pervasive. There are Bitcoin ATMs now. So, you know, one of the things obviously is if you have a Bitcoin, you can only spend it with someone that will take it. But as Garrett mentioned earlier, it's getting easier and easier to find people who will take it either electronically or you can go to an ATM and literally convert it into cash. So it's expanding pretty rapidly and pretty widely at this point.
Now, who in Cincinnati is accepting Bitcoins? Because there have been a few companies that have started to take them, a few merchants in town, I believe.
So currently, if you go to the site coinmap.org, there's a list of merchants in the area that accept it. There's a few businesses up on the north side of town that do. The only retail establishments right now that accept it are Groove Coffee Shop in Covington. Pete Kupadakis over there is the manager of that, and I got him signed up with BitPay, which is a payment processing company that helps you accept Bitcoin and converts those Bitcoins into cash and puts them into your business checking account. But as part of my job as a BitPay integrator, I get calls all the time from businesses that are interested in setting up accounts. And over the next, 12 months, I believe that we'll see a lot more local merchants start accepting Bitcoin as a method of payment.
I think I read, too, there was a Firehouse Subs might be one of the new Bitcoin takers in town, too, because I think there was a shop by UC that's actually starting to accept them, if I heard right.
So, yeah, that was a funny story. They were accepting Bitcoin for a while, and they were contacted by the corporate headquarters and asked to stop accepting Bitcoin. Because one of the executives thought that the process of Bitcoin mining involved child labor, which it did not. But it just goes to show you that there is there's a lot of misconceptions in Bitcoin, and there's still a need for education out there. Firehouse Subs did accept it, but not anymore currently.
I had not heard that story. I personally find that really amusing because Bitcoin mining, of course, is entirely virtual. It doesn't involve people at all.
Right.
It's computers generating these things.
Right.
So I find that incredibly laughable that someone would think it involves child labor.
Well, like Garrett was saying, there are a lot of misconceptions about it out there.
Definitely.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. You can also email talk at WVXU.org or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And let's talk with Claire from Hyde Park. Good afternoon, Claire.
Oh, yes?
You might need to turn your radio off, Claire, because that's going to put you a little behind the conversation here. So, Claire, what's your question? There you go. What's your question today?
Oh, yeah. Hi, Garrett. I was wondering where in Cincinnati you could buy Bitcoins, or what was, the quickest way?
So, the easiest way to buy Bitcoins locally is to come to a Bitcoin meetup group. If you go to meetup.com/Cincinnati-Bitcoin, you'll see a list of meetups. And you come there, and there's a bunch of members who have Bitcoins and can set you up with a Bitcoin wallet and get you Bitcoins into your wallet easily. Also, if you'd like, you can come visit me. I have an office downtown on Main Street, and we can set up a personal meeting, and I can walk you through the process of getting Bitcoins as well.
Okay, Claire, thank you very much for the question. And again, if you'd like to join the conversation, the phone number is 513-419-7155. And do we have any idea how many Bitcoins are in circulation? I guess it's virtual, but there has to be some kind of a count since they have a value.
So the protocol is set to max out at 21 million Bitcoins. That'll be sometime in 2100, the year 2100. Currently, about half of those have been mined, so we have about 12 million Bitcoins in circulation. That number is going to decrease each year, just based on how the protocol and the network is set up.
And as they become more widely accepted, I imagine the number is going to go down more quickly as well.
Yes, and then you have, there's going to be loss of Bitcoins. People will lose their private keys. So Bitcoins will be destroyed that way. But there will only ever be 21 million Bitcoins. There's a cap, so you don't have to worry about inflation or anything like that.
So you can actually lose your Bitcoins. I guess that's one of the hazards of using Bitcoins.
You can. There's been numerous stories about people who mined Bitcoins in the early days and had them stored on a hard drive, and that hard drive gets lost or gets taken to the trash dump, and unfortunately they lose millions of dollars. So there's a risk of losing your Bitcoins that way, yes.
And I think this is where some of the risk comes in for maybe less technical people who don't really spend a lot of time thinking about these kind of things. As Garrett mentioned, there's a famous story, you can look it up online. A guy actually, for some reason that escapes me, had a hard drive with about $1 million worth of Bitcoins on it that he eventually threw away. And then realized, wait a minute, I threw this away. Well, it's gone. It's in a dump somewhere. It's essentially irretrievable at that point. So, one of the things you have to take into account if you decide to make an investment in this is how are you going to secure your Bitcoins? Not only from I don't want someone to hack in and steal my keys and cash these in somewhere, but even something as simple like what kind of backup protocol do I have? If I got $1 million worth of Bitcoins on a 10-year-old PC, that is a recipe for disaster, right? Because when that thing dies, it may or may not be retrievable. So, there's lots of risks and things you need to understand from an IT perspective to make sure that if you do make an investment in this, that you're taking care of your money like you would at a bank.
Exactly. And Bitcoin it's just the most popular, I take, of several virtual currencies that have been introduced. Are there any others that are still in use out there?
There are. They're called alternative coins or altcoins. And there's hundreds of them. The biggest or the second to Bitcoin is called Litecoin, and it's got a market cap of about $100 million. But there's everything from barbecue coin to feather coin to there's hundreds of them. So, yeah, it's becoming a whole new industry, cryptocurrencies.
And I would add to that, again, from a reputability standpoint and, are you making an investment in something where your money is not likely to disappear? Because it's kind of ironic. The CEO of Mt. Gox had made several public statements before everything blew up there that, this is a risky thing to do and your money could go to zero tomorrow. Now, obviously that hasn't happened, but with these lesser well-known cryptocurrencies, in my opinion, there's a lot more risk. The players are less well-known. You don't have guys like Mark Andreessen backing it up, who's well-known in the business of IT. So, as you get into these bid players, they're going to be less well-accepted. There's probably more risk. I'm not saying you shouldn't do it. But again, always understand there's a risk involved. And I think Bitcoin is by far the most stable, reliable thing out there if you're interested in this.
Well, what's the present value of a Bitcoin?
This morning it was trading about $650 per Bitcoin.
And that brings up my other question that, some people in the financial world are investing in Bitcoins and they're speculating on them. Was that part of the original idea behind them, that to create something that could be traded in?
I'm not sure if it was part of the original idea. It definitely has its pros and cons on the market. As we see more money flow into the Bitcoin markets, hopefully we'll start to see things stabilize, because there will be greater liquidity. People can sell their coins at any time for a price that they know is fair. But there's also the fact that speculators can run up the price and crash the price in very short periods of time. Just like we saw recently with the closure of Mt. Gox, that day they announced that they were closing, the Bitcoin exchange rate fell about 20%. So it trades a lot on news too.
I mean, in the last year, it's had some pretty wild swings. It was up to like $1,200 at one point, right?
Yes. We've gone from about $30 to a high of $1,200 in November. Now we're about down to 650, so a pullback of about 50% since the top.
Wow. That makes me curious about what each of you would think of this. Warren Buffett, he recently said that Bitcoin is not a currency, and he wouldn't be surprised if it's not around in 10 or 20 years because it's very speculative in his words. And he says, I think somewhere in there he might have even made a comparison to the Dutch tulip mania of the 1600s. That might have been thrown in. How do each of you react to that view of Bitcoin?
Well, definitely the cryptocurrency idea is here to stay. If Bitcoin ultimately fails, the idea of having a peer-to-peer electronic currency will still survive. Personally, I don't think Bitcoin will fail. Warren Buffett, he's never been a technology investor, so I'm not discrediting his quote at all, but I think that there's further research that needs to be done before you can make an assumption like that.
Yeah, Warren Buffett is clearly a lot smarter than me, especially when it comes to anything related to finances. But I tend to agree more with Garrett. I'm not sure that Bitcoin is the ultimate answer for this, but I think the idea is very compelling for both obviously positive and negative reasons. You know, the question we sort of talked about it before. Right now, there's no real legislation around this. If someone will accept Bitcoin as currency from you, you can buy anything you want with it, and it's essentially untraceable at that point. So while, you know, depending on your view of things, that's good or bad, right? You can buy illegal things with it. One of the big uses of Bitcoin early on was through Silk Road and people buying drugs and stuff like that. So like anything in society, it's got its pros and cons. But I think the idea is here to stay. Will Bitcoin be the vehicle for that? I'm not sure. Obviously, it's had some major problems here recently. But I don't think you're going to see this idea go away unless the government figures out a way to completely shut it down. And, you know, there are numerous senators now who've gotten into the fray on this thing, called for regulation of it. So I don't know where it's all going, but I generally agree with Garrett at a high level that the concept itself is here to stay.
So I take it from what both of you are saying, don't underestimate the idea of virtual currency.
Right.
Yes.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. And let's talk with Matt in Newport. Good afternoon, Matt.
Good afternoon.
And what's your question?
I have a question for Garrett with regards to BitPay, as far as what the growth has been, transaction volume, dollar volume, and, say within the last 6 months to a year.
So BitPay is a merchant service that allows businesses to accept Bitcoin, and it will convert those Bitcoins to cash and deposit them to the business checking account for a fee of about 1%. This service has been extremely popular over the past couple years. BitPay has about 20,000 merchants they've signed up. Most of them are web-based businesses, but there's also a lot of brick-and-mortar businesses. And last year, they processed about $107 million worth of transactions. So these companies are starting to become very big. Coinbase provides a similar service. So I'm the local BitPay integrator partner. So it's my job to help local businesses, if they'd like to accept Bitcoin, to get them set up with a BitPay account and explain the process of accepting cryptocurrencies at their place of business.
Matt, thank you very much for the question. We appreciate it. Let's talk with Jackie from Fairfield. Good afternoon, Jackie.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. I might be a little confused by this, but I actually have two questions. One is, I understand that Bitcoins, you're buying virtual money, and then in turn you take that money to make purchases. What I wanted to know was, and I know it's different, but what are the advantages of using that as opposed to using something like PayPal for security? There has to be a difference, and maybe I'm not understanding. And also, when you buy the Bitcoin, is the value dollar for dollar?
So to answer your question about PayPal, Bitcoin is similar to PayPal, but there's a lot of differences. PayPal, you basically load your credit card information onto the site, and it just charges purchases directly to your credit card. So you're still having to provide your identity, and you run the risk of identity theft that way. PayPal is also notorious for freezing accounts and chargebacks. So say you are a merchant selling products on eBay, and somebody buys one of your products with a stolen credit card. Well, if you don't know that that credit card is stolen and you accept it, you're liable for that purchase. So the credit card company can charge it back, meaning that they take that money that was deposited into your business account, they take it out and refund it to the customer whose card was robbed. And that's impossible with Bitcoin. There's no such thing as a Bitcoin chargeback. So while it's similar to PayPal, it has a lot of advantages to PayPal. And then second, I believed you asked about Bitcoin being priced dollar for dollar. Bitcoin is traded on the open market, so the exchange rate is always fluctuating based on the supply and demand for the coins. So no, $1 is not equal to one Bitcoin. But a Bitcoin can be broken up into a million different pieces. So you can own fractional parts of a Bitcoin. So say you have 0.01 Bitcoin, that would be equal to about $6.50 in today's at today's exchange rate.
Thank you for the question, Jackie. We appreciate it. Let's talk with Kevin from Fort Thomas. Good afternoon, Kevin.
Hello. I had a question about it. If you're saying that it is similar to cash, and it sounds like it is, and there's no transaction fee, then why couldn't the government or any government issue their own type of Bitcoin that could be exchanged on the Internet, and it would eliminate the middleman of Visa and MasterCard and whoever?
They can. The Canadian government has recently explored using cryptographic currencies for small cash transactions. As far as the U.S. government, I'm not sure if it's ever been on the radar. You know, it seems like it's something that would need to go through the Federal Reserve System. So I'm not sure if there's any plans for the U.S. government to institute any sort of cryptographic currency anytime soon.
I haven't heard anything like that either. And also, it takes a lot of control out of the system. So I think the government would probably have to spend a lot of time analyzing what are the pros and cons of something like this. It's certainly doable, though, and they could come up with their own algorithms to do it if they wanted to.
So we're not to the point yet where we can pay our income taxes with Bitcoins.
Well, I guess you could convert it to cash and walk over to the IRS and, you know, or put it in your account and have a check drawn on it. So in theory, you could, but they won't accept it.
Right. They won't accept it yet.
Well, actually, we have a local member of the Cincinnati Bitcoin meetup group, Jerry Felix. He works for Electronic Commerce Link, and they write software for municipal governments. And they recently integrated Bitcoin into that software. So hopefully within the next couple of years, if you have a parking ticket or a local municipal tax you have to pay, you may be able to pay that with Bitcoin.
Okay. Thank you very much for the question, Kevin. And let's talk with Dave from Dayton, Ohio. Hi, Dave.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. Basically, what I know a little bit about Bitcoin. My father, he's been getting into this. And my main thought, and just kind of wanted your opinion and something that's been hard for me to wrap my head around, is that I found out that the people or person who's responsible for creating Bitcoin apparently had kept a million Bitcoins for themselves for whatever reason, to, you know, to reward themselves or what. But I guess the thought is that what keeps from anybody just creating a cryptocurrency, keeping a million of their coins and just waiting for it to shoot up to $1,200 a coin and instantly become, you know, a millionaire, multimillionaire overnight? And it just kind of seems sketchy to me. So I just kind of wanted your thought on that.
Well, I guess what I would say to that is, A, I had not heard that story, and B, I guess the only thing that would keep anyone from doing that would be it would require a very high level of technical skill and knowledge to create a cryptocurrency and put the infrastructure in place to do what Bitcoin does. But it's at least theoretically possible. What do you think, Garrett?
So, yeah, I've never heard that either. Satoshi Nakamoto, the anonymous author of the Bitcoin Protocol.
Who's not anonymous anymore.
Yeah, that's up for debate. Recently Newsweek said they discovered who it is, but then he denied any allegations of creating Bitcoin. So, yeah, it's a big debate about who has actually founded Bitcoin. And from what I've heard, the largest Bitcoin address on record, so you can publicly look at the bounces of any Bitcoin address. And that is, there's 400,000 coins in one address, and we don't know who that belongs to, but it's not a million. And so, yeah, we're not sure who that huge bounce belongs to. But to the second part of your question about people creating their own coin and holding a bunch of the coins for themselves and dumping it on the market, that does happen. This is an unregulated market, and it's very easy to create your own cryptographic currency. And we have seen a lot of pump and dump schemes in the space. And that's kind of the reason that the government has been talking about regulating these virtual currencies, because of foul play like that.
Dave, thank you for the question. We appreciate it. Let's talk with Zach in Clifton. Hi, Zach. How are you today?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good, thanks.
I was just calling in based on, it seems like a lot of people are interested right now in getting into Bitcoin, which kind of confuses me with the closing of Mt. Gox recently. And another exchange was recently hit. I can't remember the exact numbers or the name of the exchange. It was a smaller one, but they actually reduced to cover, you know, what was lost. They reduced the all accounts by 12%, which seems to me like it goes against, you know, the initial idea of Bitcoin, which is kind of an unregulated cryptocurrency. And I just curious about the staying power when things like that are starting to occur.
Okay, Zach, thank you for the question.
So the Mt. Gox closure kind of outlines that there are security issues present in Bitcoin, and you can't really trust a central authority yet to have a large bounce of Bitcoins. It's not the end-all, be-all of the system, though. If Mt. Gox closing would be analogous to J.P. Morgan or Bank of America going out of business. You see one of these large banks go out of business, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the whole financial system will fail. And as far as the second part of the question,
I guess I would jump into what Garrett's saying. And yeah, I think ultimately, like anything technology related, there are potential problems. One of the things that I think that makes this interesting is you have anonymity plus transparency at the same time. Garrett mentioned the ledger where you can go look and see what accounts have what bitcoins, but there's really no way to trace that back to an individual. So there's lots of moving parts to this that I think make it really interesting, but also potentially set you up for problems. Another thing that's interesting is it's all based on open source software. So anyone can go out and take a look at what's been done. And if you have the skill to understand the software, you can decide for yourself, you know, whether it's credible or reputable. And I guess that gets me back to my point about credibility and reputability earlier. If you're going to invest money in anything, you're going to be better off to do some research, get educated, find players like Mark Andreessen who are involved in it, and deal with something that's well known. If you get into some other currency outside of Bitcoin, if you, you know, you deal with small players, there's a much higher likelihood that fraud will be involved, or it might not even be fraud. They just might not really know what they're doing. It might not be malicious. They just don't really know what they're doing and the thing fails. So you got to understand the risks and you got to be careful here.
And I'd like to point out too that these cryptocurrencies and bitcoins are kind of the last bastions of capitalism that we have. When Mt. Gox went under, we didn't have a government bailout of Mt. Gox. We didn't have, you know, public funds subsidizing private failures. So it's kind of that keeping in mind with the libertarian concept, if you lose something, it's your loss, it's your liability.
Caveat emptor.
Thanks, both of you, for being here this afternoon. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Definity Partners, solution architect and technology consultant Dave Hatter, and Garrett Kern, CEO of Surf Capital Management, an integration partner for Bitcoin payment processor BitPay. After the break, a look at a new Irish literature collection website, and in focus on technology, Africa's future may be looking up thanks to an interest in space. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.